T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let's take you inside this practice here on your home of America's team. Nashawn Wright, one of RJ's new favorite players, is going to be joining us at 9 o'clock. Possibility of Mike McCarthy tomorrow here as we are covering practice, brought to you by Goody Goody Liquor, Dream Lending, and Twin Peaks, live on the Fan Cam, live on Twitch. You can find all of it at 1053thefan.com. This is probably the most entertaining and crazy practice of training camp so far, and the play to really headline all of it, Michael Gallup's somersault. As RJ got the beginning of it, I got the end of it, but nobody except for Hard Knocks, well, I don't even know if Hard Knocks got it, but DallasCowboys.com did, with Michael Gallup going straight over the fence with a scary somersault.
People are saying, like, some people just want it. Oh no, I don't want that.
No,
I don't want that. That it started out as a, you know, he went to the fence and went over it, and it was like, okay, he's gonna make it out of this, okay. And then the flip, and the way he lands on his knees, it's like, oh
yeah,
oh no,
he falls right between Jay Glazer, Brad Sham, and Clarence Hill, right there. It was Sham talking to Glazer, Fox NFL insider, and then Clarence Hill. And Clarence is just, I don't know if Clarence ever stops talking. I mean, Clarence said he was just talking. He didn't have his phone out recording from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, but it was scary, man. And Gallup was able to recover. He was down on the ground for a little bit. He goes back in. He's in the Hail Mary drills, and he catches a Hail Mary in the back of the end zone where he was just barely out of bounds. But, Troy, you were able to see the video. Did you think we were exaggerating? What did you think when we were first all tweeting about this before the Cowboys social media put it out?
I see that Clarence Hill has no care for humanity. He didn't even try to grab him or catch him. He was like, oh, I got to write this down and tweet it. He did nothing there. It was amazing to watch, and then as soon as he landed, I was like, that's a blown quad. That's two blown quads. The way he landed was scary, and then he got up very slowly as well. But I was like, wow, I appreciate the effort, but why the hell are those fences so close?
It's always been like that, but you know, usually you don't see guys throwing bombs down the left side, right there, right in the back corner of the end zone.
Well, I know that we were focused on his health, but also focus on who was covering him and who was blanketing him, because Sean and RJ guest and new best friend Trayvon Diggs took over this practice yesterday, took over along with the secondary. In one drill against the first team offense, Diggs had three big plays. This is against Dak and the first teamers, and he ended the drill with an end zone pick. One of three interceptions on the day for the entire defense. Diggs also picked off DiNucci. No, shoot. I think there's probably four interceptions on the day, because Kennedy had one, KZ had one, and Diggs ended up with two. Maybe it was three interceptions against Dak. that's what it ended up being. But this secondary was fantastic yesterday with some safeties finally making some plays out here on the day that Malik Hooker came out here in his new number 28.
Yeah.
Unable to practice yesterday, but the new Cowboys safety is out here with his jersey.
Yeah, one of the picks was a tip drill. It was a tip ball interception. And then you had the pick six was, I mean, that was a really nice play. Dak was in the compete period.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he has looked kind of out of sync in the compete period for a lot of camp, you know, in the four practice. I know it's not many practices, but in the four, he has looked kind of out of sync. He's looked money when there's nobody around, but in that compete period, his timing has just not been there. And it showed yesterday, and the DBs are taking advantage of it. They were jumping routes and then obviously the tip ball, whatever. I don't really count that, but,
Well, the Tolos also bring up a great point, and we can't just say this in spring training for baseball and not here. You know, you try throws out here,
yes,
too. You force throws. You try to fit it into tighter windows, whereas in baseball, you're trying different things. You don't care if you get blown up.
Right.
You're just going to work, you know, specifically on and exclusively on the slider for the day or just the fastball for the day, and whatever happens, happens. We haven't seen any balls thrown out of bounds here. Not one ball has been thrown out of bounds by a quarterback because they're going to try to force different things.
There was a play I took a video of yesterday. It was, I think it was Jarwin in the back of the end zone, that he never would have attempted that throw outside of like a fourth down where you had fourth down, game on the line. He never attempts that throw because the guy was blanketed. And it was just, it was tipped up in the air and it went out of bounds. So you're right. They're going to attempt things. They're going to try plays that they don't necessarily think may work. That's what they're practicing about. That's what they're trying. But also, defenses are normally ahead of offenses early on in camp anyway.
Sure. Yep.
You know, there's a timing aspect of offenses that doesn't play with defense.
Every year. So Kelvin Joseph, Boss Man Fats, talking about the Cowboys DBs yesterday, quote, "We're going to fly around, no fly zone. We're going to call it airplane mode. When y'all drop this interview, tell them Cowboys defense airplane mode. You can't throw, no fly zone." So another nickname. I like airplane mode. I do like that. But Kelvin should do a little research on what has happened when Talk Lawrence and Jalen Swipe start coming up with their nicknames and their little committees for this defense that is absolutely stunk.
You might need to play a game before you come up with a nickname for a secondary of no names. I don't know.
And have Amari out here. As Amari Cooper was out here with a mask on.
Yes.
And I was trying to figure out what that was all about. What does that mean? I didn't ask. I didn't think it was my business to ask certain Cowboy officials, but just passing along an observation that Amari was out here with a mask on before he got on the cords to work. No wristbands being worn. Bruce Arians,
right.
Tampa Bay. No wristbands being worn out here on the practice field. So there was my biggest takeaway. By the way, CeeDee Lamb still flawless, unstoppable out here. You got the video of his Hail Mary catch between two people, I think. Wasn't it two people that were trying to defend him?
Yeah, they didn't make the best effort. They didn't really jump up for it, but yeah, it was right there. It was, you know, Dak rolled to the right. It was probably about the 40-yard line.
Yeah,
he rolled to the right and then threw back left, and there was CD with the jump ball.
So the beginning of the day started with linebackers hitting the sled, and the first linebacker up. And I'm not doing this as our usual sarcastic Jalen Smith segment. This is for real. Jalen Smith was first in line. Working against this sled. And three straight times, Jalen did the drill incorrectly. It was like a punch technique that he wasn't executing, and he had to go back and do it again. And I got it on video each time at 105.3 SS, if you want to look at it. And maybe, you know, people who played football can tell me what exactly you were supposed to be doing with the drill. But Jalen didn't do it right the first time. Then he didn't do it right the second time, and he got really frustrated. And then before he did it the third time, meanwhile, you had Van Der Esch go through it, Micah Parsons going through it. I think there was one other linebacker throughout the three attempts they had at the drill who messed up the technique, but Jalen did it messed it up three times. And before he attempted the final one, like, the coach pulled him aside and he's like, look, just do it this way. This thing is kicking your butt today. And you can hear Jalen's frustration. And I had a Cowboy insider next to me say he has to be feeling the weight. He has to be hearing the talk. He has to be hearing Parsons in the shadows. And that kind of surprised me because Jalen always comes across as noise canceling. Delusional, really. He's delusional during the games when he's drawing a pass interference and a flag when he gets up to celebrate. He's delusional when they're getting their ass kicked and he makes a stop and celebrates. He's delusional when a play has been blown dead, yet he picks it up and thinks he has a fumble return. So I just assume that he was going to be, you know, delusional out here. But I had two separate people. Well, one person say, I think that the noise has to be getting to him. And I just thought that was just that little small drill really stood out yesterday because he couldn't get it right versus the sled. An easy practice technique that we've seen out here for years, but Jalen, he was struggling with it right off the jump.
The first thing that I saw that popped into my head when I saw that, we were doing, this was years ago, Broadus and I were doing a pre-draft show. And I don't remember who the player, it may have been Nate Solder, who got like 11 reps on the bench press as an offensive lineman. And I said, you know, maybe he's got an injury. Maybe he's got a shoulder injury. And Broadus said, maybe he's just weak. Maybe he's just weak.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing that popped into my head. Like, is he not even able to get the extent? Like, he's not using his legs. He's going all arms.
Right.
You know, he's just using all arms, no legs. And that was the first thing that popped into my head. Is he not physically strong enough right now to make the sled pop the way it's supposed to extend? Surely not.
Right.
You know, is changing his number to number 9 mean that he has the same strength as Tony Romo? Surely not. Like that something had to be wrong there. Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Jalen's going to make you eat your words this year. Watch. Did he swipe after the third time when he finally got it done? Jalen looked fine in that drill. You guys are negative with everything he does.
The coach made him redo it, Dip. The coach made him redo it three separate times, so the coach disagrees with you, Al Bundy.
The point of that drill is to lower your hips, fight off an offensive lineman or a blocker. Is number 9 not helping his lack of skill? Let's see. So there you go.
Yeah, I felt bad for him. I felt bad for him. And I had another Cowboy insider tell me something that I'm not going to say, but it's something that's really – I'm going to do some more homework on it, see if I can get someone else to confirm. But it's something on how Jalen really may be behind the scenes that none of us have heard or talked about yet. So that's a little tease for down the road. But he was struggling yesterday to start off these drills. And he's been alternating. Jalen is the little league kid who has the best gear on. But you're like, that's all he's got. He's going to dress the best. He's going to look the best. He's got these coordinated outfits and everything. But yesterday he was alternating back and forth with first and second team. Okay, Xavien Howard. This is some big news. Yesterday, the official trade request came out from his social media. Now, he showed up to Miami. He's a number one corner who is better than Byron Jones, but apparently not happy that Byron got a little bit more money. He said, I've given my heart and soul. I made it clear I love my teammates. Blah, 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 blah. Here we go. In 2018, I signed an extension that I'll admit I didn't completely understand or feel comfortable with. I've played on that deal for 2 seasons and didn't complain, but everyone knows I've significantly outperformed that deal. I'm one of the best corners in the NFL, and the tape backs up that claim. The assignments I'm given, shadowing the opposition's best player with little help, proves my value, yet I'm the second highest paid corner on my own team. And it's not even close. I want to clear up a few misconceptions. I never once asked for a completely new contract. We wanted to work things out with the Dolphins, like guaranteeing more money. We fought for win-wins for both sides, but they refused everything. I don't feel they've dealt with me in good faith. I don't feel valued or respected, so I'm here just so I don't get fined. I'll handle myself like professionals do. So Xavien Howard signed his five-year, $75 million deal in 2019. He's got a fully guaranteed salary of $12 mil this season. His $15 million average is sixth highest in the league, trailing Byron Jones by $1 million. He led the league with 10 picks last year, first team, all pro for the first time. He's 28 years old. What do you think? What do you think of his argument, and what do you think of trying to go get him here?
Look, his argument, has points, and then it's flawed. You can't say I didn't understand the contract.
Yeah, that's really dumb.
That's not really the Dolphins' problem.
That's ridiculous.
That's your problem.
You and your agent's problem.
Yeah, that you tell your agent to make up the extra money.
I think his agent is Tanks. I'll double check. Go ahead.
It's Demetrius. David, it's Clutch.
David Cantor.
No, it's Demarius Bilbo. It's Clutch Sports. Is his agent, according to Spotrac.
No, it's David Cantor. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what Spotrac has, Demarius. So he is making, it's good money. I mean, yearly average salary is good cash.
Yep.
The guaranteed amount is lower than Byron Jones. Considerably lower than Byron Jones. But I mean, that's kind of how the contracts work. I mean, the next man up is going to get more money. He has a point that he is underpaid. But he wasn't underpaid when he was, you know, in 2019 when he only played five games and he wasn't very good in the games that he played.
Yeah.
Was he complaining then? Would I trade for him? Absolutely not. I'm not trading for a guy then to pay somebody. You're going to give him a new contract. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
If you tell me that we're going to give him the new deal and he's not going to complain for the next, or I'm not going to hear a peep out of him for the next three seasons, I wouldn't be mad if the Cowboys did it. With the way Diggs is playing out here, like, I'm wondering if he can be your one. But if I knew he was the two and Xavien Howard was here, I may completely change the way I think about the Cowboys as a contender, possibly. But I don't know how crazy this dude is. Like, I don't care about the Dolphins, and I don't know any Dolphins beat reporters. Like, is this guy going to act like this in two more years after he just re-signed his deal? Because I'm on Team Miami on this one when it comes to the contract with the way he's been acting. But and then I got to look at the larger sample size, not just the 1 year of all pro, but Xavien Howard has officially requested out. The Mavericks plan is also out. Don't know. Well, I do know. I'm not excited about it. And I don't know what to make of Joey Gallo. Or maybe we do know that too. Did Joey Gallo just say goodbye last night to all the Ranger Tolos? Next with Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Swing, and there's a ball driven deep out into center field. Smith going back on this one. He turns to look, and it's gone. Takes some left turns. Joey Gallo.
Matt Hicks with the call. The Rangers end the 12-game losing streak by beating Arizona 5-4 last night on DFW Sports Station. The game in Arlington on 105.3 The Fan, and Joey Gallo sounded like he was saying goodbye. That was his first home run since the All-Star break. It was a three-run shot. He also had two more assists from right field before that 25th home run of the season. He had gone 2-for-32 with no runs batted in and 17 Ks since the All-Star game and the home run derby. Chris Woodward afterwards said, look, I hope he remains here. I love the kid dearly. He's obviously a huge part of what we do, but Joey Gallo, after the game on Bally, sounded like this week was it.
Yeah, I mean, this year I'm a little more prepared for it. Last year I wasn't really ready for it, but I went through it, and I understand it's part of the business, and that's how it goes in baseball. Unfortunately, obviously, you'd love to stay here, but you know, it's not up to me at the end of the day. And you know, I just want to say thank you to the Rangers. If this is my last time, like, thank you to the Rangers fans. You guys have been great for me. I love you guys, and thank you. I appreciate it.
Don't do this.
I want to take the opportunity while I'm still here, you know. But, you know, it's been amazing. So hopefully we can make more memories. But I don't want to miss out on an opportunity to say thank you to everybody.
I'm way too good at goodbye.
That is going to make a lot of Ranger Tolos want to keep him because of the emotion of that statement. And Joey is an awesome interview. He sounds like a really, really good dude. And it sounds like the Rangers are interested in keeping him, playing around with an extension, but at their price, which is probably way lower than what Joey is actually going to get.
Yeah, they're not offering him an extension at all. Even if they offered him a deal that's $10 million less a year or $8 million, that's not really offering him.
What's his market value? And then let's try to guess what the Rangers would offer real quick.
His market value is probably higher than we would think. It's probably closer to $25 million a year.
Okay.
You know, it's probably 7 for $175 or 6 for $1, you know, whatever. It's $25 million a
year. So the Rangers would then, they would offer 20.
15 to 20, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just not enough. It's not going to get it done. But that's my assumption on what his market value is going to be. What should it be? It should be probably about where the Rangers are coming in at. But we know that the market's just going to be so much higher. So I don't know that I would pay him that much, but that is the cost of doing business in Major League Baseball. It's just like in basketball. Drew Holiday ain't worth $40 million, but that's what he's getting paid.
Yeah.
Do you want to be a big boy or not? Like, what do you want? Who do you want to compete with? You want to compete with the little guys or the big guys? I want to compete with the big guys.
Yeah.
So whether today, tomorrow, whenever he winds up getting traded, I do believe he will get traded.
Yeah.
And that'll obviously has to happen by Friday, the 30th, and it's a day earlier than normal. Day earlier than normal this year, but that will happen. I think it's 4 o'clock Eastern time is the trade deadline.
So the other rumors that are out there: Rays eyeing Chris Bryant. Scherzer prefers West Coast. Several teams monitoring Craig Kimbrel. Mariners in on Trey Turner. At least three teams interested in Gallo. This is from John Morosi. Yankees, we knew. Padres, we heard. Even though Mike said the Padres are going to be out yesterday after their move, and now Morosi throws Toronto into the mix.
Yeah, they had gotten, you know, Adam Frazier, San Diego did, so he thought they would be out. But, you know, look, there's still a chance. I mean, San Diego is going to have to match the Dodgers somewhere. The Dodgers are going to wind up getting Max Scherzer.
What?
Yeah. You know it's going to happen. They just keep piling up. They don't care.
And Bauer got pushed away from the team again, even more of an extended leave yesterday.
They need a Bauer replacement. And they're going to try. I mean, I bet they're going to go hard for Max Scherzer. And that would be stunning, to say the least. But, you know, you got your other guys out there that you mentioned and where they may go. Toronto is a good option for Gallo. Obviously, Milwaukee is still in the mix, I think. And then the Yankees, who have cleared some. They made two moves yesterday, or a move to move two guys to clear space on their 40-man.
All right, so that was the Rangers finally getting a win over Arizona, ended the 12-game losing streak. I was very, very disappointed yesterday to see Mavs insider Mark Stein tweet that the Mavs' focus after the draft will be the pursuit of Kyle Lowry and the re-signing of Tim Hardaway Jr. You talk about a kick in the stones to kind of let the air out of your balloon with all this Nico Harrison hype. Kyle, all right, let's just say they got Kyle Lowry. All right, Lowry, Luka, Porzingis. Mm-hmm. Does what in the West?
Nothing.
Oh, all right. I was expecting a little deeper analysis right there, but I agree with you. So this is going to be a point guard market, all right? Our buddy from ESPN that created headlines when he was on with us, Brian Windhorse, says that the Knicks, Chicago, Miami, Pelicans, and us need point guards, and we have cap space. The Lakers and the Clippers need point guards. They don't have cap space. So the names this offseason, Chris Paul, Mike Conley, who Windhorse thinks is going to go back to Utah, and then Kyle Lowry is going to draw a lot of attention. Here's Windhorse on the Mavs. According to sources, the Mavs, looking to ease the burden on Luka, have shown interest in both Conley and Lowry. Lowry's going to have his pick of money and championship contender. The Sixers are exploring trade possibilities. They're talking about Ben Simmons to Toronto, sign and trade Kyle Lowry to Philadelphia. Lonzo Ball is another name that's out there that could handle the rock and play some defense on this team. I wouldn't be too mad at that if it was on a cheaper deal. But the main focus of Kyle Lowry, who wants from anywhere from $25 to $30 million? No. No, yeah. No. He's 35 years old. No. Stop. No. Why? No. Why is this the plan? Because it has to be the plan?
Because it's who they can get. Like the Pelicans are going to make a huge offer to Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Mavericks are going to obviously make an offer. And he's going to have to decide between, does he want to go play with Zion for maybe more money? Or here.
Philly.
Or Philly. Maybe Miami. Throw Miami in there. I don't know, man. Like this is literally...
This is the focus.
This is the focus because this is what they're able to do. It's more of the same. It's not Kid. It's not Nico. It's not Rick. It's not Donnie. It's just that...
Maybe this is a smokescreen.
It
is a smokescreen for something else that we would really be excited about behind the scenes. Maybe.
Like what?
You know, yeah.
Kawhi going to come right now?
Is there another black belt out there that we can get? Like last year, we all got excited over that stupid story of bringing a black belt for a Luka defender for toughness.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go ahead and bring you guys who can fight and beat down the Clippers in the paint.
Right. And now we're going to bring guys in who aren't nearly as good as Luka Doncic to take the ball out of Luka Doncic's hands.
Man. Woo! Man. I like the idea of Lonzo Ball to help with some of the point guard duties, and then another score that could be cheaper to replace Hardaway. Or if you want to re-sign Hardaway, I don't want to go too crazy with that money. But Kyle Lowry and then Tim Hardaway, according to Mark Stein, who usually knows what he's talking about when it comes to the Mavs. 877-881-1053, Autoflex Leasing Fantex, in order to hit us up. All right, the big headline developing out of the NFL, Ron Rivera is upset with his unvaccinated players in Washington. We all know his story, right? He is a cancer survivor. Here is Coach Rivera talking about his problems with the unvaxxed players.
I'm truly frustrated. I'm beyond frustrated. And part of it is, and the reason I walked in with the mask on is, you know, I'm immune deficient with this new variant. Who knows? So when I'm in a group and the group's not vaccinated or there's mixture, I put the mask on. And I do that, you know, for health reasons because nobody really knows. I just wish and I hope that our guys can understand that.
So he's frustrated and just another story trying to put pressure on people who are unvaccinated throughout the National Football League. Well, former NFL safety, I was kind of hoping he was still in the league to see even more heat on him. Former NFL safety T.J. Ward played for Denver, took to social media to respond to Ron Rivera. Quote, just park the riverboat. His health is beyond that of COVID. Maybe it's time to let it go. Don't blame the players for your lifelong health decisions. This just in, actually, you know what? Maybe I'll take the line from Florio. Cancer, Dr. Ward, isn't an STD.
Oh, my God.
That's Florio's response. I don't think Ron Rivera got lung cancer from smoking, and I don't think he was sitting outside tanning for skin cancer. He didn't choose to hit the red button and get it. So, moron of the month, idiot of the week is TJ Ward, but Ron Rivera frustrated with his players.
Listen, Ron has a very good point. Now, it's the issue is the immunocompromised. That's always been the issue. People make it about vaxxed, unvaxxed. It's always the people who are compromised with an immune disorder who either can't get the vaccination for whatever reason or have it and are still worried because they have an immune deficiency and any misstep could obviously be catastrophic for their well-being. And that's what TJ Ward doesn't understand. But, you know, the obvious is he seems to somehow think that Ron Rivera getting cancer is the fault of him being Riverboat Ron and just this big, giant gambler.
What an idiot.
Like, I don't think he's out there with lucky strikes.
By the way, the Vikings worked out a deal to bring back their offensive line coach. Rick Dennison is not leaving the team. And I had a problem with this. You know, I had a problem that coaches have no way out, that you have to be vaccinated or you can't coach. Players don't have to be vaccinated and they can still play, and you're making it, you know, black and white for coaches. Well, Minnesota worked out an agreement to keep him in their organization, and that's what I said last week. I was like, just make him coach like he did last year when we had all these COVID protocols. So Rick Dennison is staying with the Vikings. We have some new numbers out. The number of players who have received at least one shot of the vaccine continues to rise. 85% have received at least one shot throughout the league.
That's good.
85% of the league's players. And number of teams who have at least 90% of their players vaccinated, 14. 14 teams have at least 90% of their players vaccinated. That's where we stand.
Well, look, those are good numbers because there was a time where I remember when it creeped over 50% for the first time. And I didn't think there was a chance they were going to get over 70% during camp. So this is really, really good news from the league standpoint.
Right.
You know, they just want as few cancellations and problems as possible. Truthfully, they probably, if you were to get them and put them with a lie detector, they probably don't care one bit, but they want their games to go on. It is about money.
Sure.
It has to be. That's what they are. They're a business.
All right. It was the biggest story in the sports world yesterday, and it's going to be today as well. Simone Biles withdraws from the individual all-around final. This is Sean and RJ live here from Oxnard, California. Cowboys training camp till Friday, brought to you by Lifetime's Heating and Air, Goody Goody Liquor, Dream Lending, and Twin Peaks. So, Troy, take us to a little bit of this audio first before we get into the Autoflex Leasing fan text on how everyone is viewing what she did as heroic, unselfish, or quitting, and a bigger topic that we got into here at Cowboys practice. What was some of the audio that was interesting to you?
Yeah, the thing that stuck out to me most is what played last night on NBC. Now, we already know what the results were, and we already know what happened with Simone Biles because there's an 11-hour delay between us and Tokyo, Japan. Sure. So when the competition happened yesterday morning, Simone Biles did the vault, and she had a horrible performance. She left the mat, went to the back with the trainer, comes back, and then she's basically leaving competition at that point. And all this played out live on NBCSports.com or whatever they're streaming the actual competition live on yesterday morning. But then the replay last night happened on NBC during primetime television. And I was like, wow, I'm going to watch this because obviously they show what Simone did during the live broadcast. Let's see what happened on the replay.
To be able to see somebody like Simone Biles, we talk about that.
Because it's not only
a feeling, but it's the numbers. The advantage built in, the difficulty.
Peacock stream
comedy. It's
there was a moment in which Simone began speaking with her coaches. That played live yesterday morning, but during the replay, NBC cut it.
Okay. And Simone said, look, she just felt like she wasn't going to have it. She blacked out during her performance, and obviously she didn't put up a very good one whatsoever. So she's like, it's best for me to let someone else step in. Even if someone else was not really prepared to do it, I know that if I perform, we're not going to medal at all. The U.S., of course, ended up winning a silver. So the question is, one of the questions is she a hero, a sports hero, for putting herself out there and admitting she didn't have it and stepping aside? Or is she a quitter for bailing on her team, taking up a spot that someone else could have had, and putting a teammate in an unfamiliar position and not performing to her standards as the greatest of all time in order to win gold instead of silver? That's kind of the main topic and discussion taking place all over. Here are some of the reactions on social media. This is Dan Wetzel, who's been covering this story in depth for Yahoo. On Simone quitting, she actually saved her team. Her vault was a brutally low score. It was below her teammates and below the lowest Russian score. Russia took a commanding lead because of it. U.S. can't win silver if she is scoring like that. She had no confidence she would score well. The gold was almost assuredly gone after her vault. The U.S. wound up with silver. Nothing bad happened. She cost her teammates nothing. With her vault, it was so pedestrian. Only one other gymnast out of 48 attempted an easier one and only scored, and only three scored lower. So at that point, Simone Biles, best of all time, was one of the worst gymnasts out there. If that continues on the bars, then the silver is in jeopardy. And I guess the follow-up question is, why did she freeze? Or why did she have that type of moment? None of us know that. Only Simone Biles can answer that. Holly Pete quoted this. Simone won nationals with broken toes and both feet, worlds with a kidney stone, and has carried the burden of being a face of sexual assault survivors as a national institution failed to support them. Half of y'all yelling about toughness can't handle wearing a mask in Wegmans. So this is some of the social media reaction that is out there.
Man, look, I to answer the question, heroic or quitting, I think the right answer is neither, to be honest with you. It's not heroic. And is it quitting? No, it's not quitting if you look at it from the standpoint of, you know, she didn't have it. She knew she didn't have it.
Yeah.
We did, you know, like there was an NFL player, the tight end, the Niners. Not the Niners. Vontae Davis, when he left at half, the Bills, right? He left at half, they retired at halftime of the game. It was Vontae Davis, not Vernon. Was it Vernon?
Oh, you talking about the corner or the tight end?
The corner.
Vontae.
Yeah. Remember, he just retired at halftime.
Yes.
He got killed. He got killed for it.
Yes.
And to me, you know, like...
And this wouldn't get this type of treatment in other sports. If Dak Prescott did not go out for the fourth quarter of a Cowboys playoff game because he felt anxiety, the criticism would be harsher.
Because we care about football. We don't care about women's gymnastics. Quite frankly, we don't care about the Olympics. I watch the Olympics. I enjoy the Olympics. We don't care about it.
Yeah.
It's entertainment.
But Dak would still get much more of a pass today than 5 or 10 years ago. Much more of a pass because of mental health and anxiety. If who was it that we were talking about with the yips the other day? Yesterday in the car. Who was I saying we were talking about, like, you know, choking or having the meltdown?
Well, in golf, it wasn't in golf. It was, Katie Ledecky has been, you know, she's been getting killed in the Olympics by other players, like by other competitors.
Oh no, Ben Simmons.
Oh, Ben Simmons.
If Ben Simmons said that he was dealing with like depression or anxiety or mental health issues, he would have been praised instead of just made fun of nonstop. He would have gotten a lot more praise. That's just where we are with things. My question is this. My kid is 1 year old, so I don't have to worry about this for a while. But eventually, and I'm asking this innocently, I don't know. How do I draw the line? Where do we draw the line between usual life stress and anxiety and mental health and an issue that we need to seek help for? You know what I mean? Like, we all have stressful days. We all have events that suck, that we don't want to do, that we get anxiety built up over. Like, what level of anxiety do you have in order for that not to be just like normal life stress? That's what I'm wondering with this. Like, I was just trying to think about this for my own life. I asked Kavanaugh that question yesterday at practice, and he was trying to explain to me his separation of depression and anxiety. And here's the way I'll try to summarize it the way he did to me. He said, when someone dies, normally, you know, you go through that depression of mourning them and being down.
Grieving process
and being upset. And Jeff said depression for him, and he's openly spoken about this, so is Kevin Hagelin, depression for him is feeling that way without that life event actually happening, something as big and significant as a death, and you just have that feeling anyway. So I was just trying to figure out at what point is like normal weekly life event stress cross over to something that could cause this to happen with Simone Biles. Because a lot of people are saying, yo, like you get nervous while you perform. Like this is your life. This is your lifestyle. Why'd you freeze up? Are we eventually going to get rid of the term and word choke in sports because of mental health and anxiety? I think we could be heading towards that a little bit.
Well, yeah, she's in a stressful job anyway.
Sure.
You know, she and the Olympics for her is the equivalent of the Super Bowl, of the World Series.
No doubt.
She literally trains her entire life for it. Now, she's been to the Olympics before. She has proven before that she can handle it. Was she completely fine mentally before? Did she overcome stress before?
Right.
Why couldn't she overcome it this time? These are all questions he has. The correct answer is it's different for everybody. Like at what point does general day-to-day stress become too much? It's probably different for everyone.
Sure.
Some people just don't. The way they get over stress is they go perform their task that takes them out of their own head, which that you could say. And look, I said this about Carson Wentz. If Carson Wentz can't handle Philadelphia, then Carson Wentz ain't the guy. He ain't the guy to have as your quarterback. If he can't handle the pressures of Philadelphia, he ain't the guy. And, you know, like I would say, if Simone Biles can't handle the pressure of the Olympics, she's not the
GOAT. But she has.
Well, yeah, Carson did too at one point.
Yeah.
You know, things change. It does change the narrative around her.
But what do y'all do when has your child come home yet? And what are you going to do when they come home and they're like, I couldn't do this at school today. I got worked up. I got worked up and I got nervous about it. Like, how do you know what direction to go of? Hey, you know, you're going to feel anxious and you're going to be nervous about stuff. That's life versus maybe I have something bigger on my hands. That's my question.
It's a good question. We had, like, for us, you know, like they can quit at any time. But they can't quit during the season. You know, if it's an individual sport, I don't have a problem with it. You know, because you just quit on yourself. I don't care about quitting on yourself. But, you know, and that's the thing. If Simone just wanted out of the – I have no problem with her wanting out of the individual competition. None. None whatsoever. You made a commitment to teammates, they're relying on you, that becomes a bigger issue. My kids cannot stop playing the sport that they're playing in the middle of the season, period. No matter what it is, suck it up and go. You're playing. You made a commitment to the coach, the team. If it's an individual thing, you know, if I'm just paying for them to go to training,
yeah,
and they want to quit the training, go ahead, don't care.
And is this any different from a wider? Is this any different from a banged up Amari Cooper at 75% saying I can't go full speed? It might be better to get, you know, Wilson in there. It may be better to go with two tight ends. Is that any different? The physical injury holding you back from the mental block holding you back. It may not be different at all.
Well, that's a fair question. And I guess it.
Are you noticing a theme here?
I guess it's, what's that?
About my questions?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
All being great?
I guess it's sport specific. Right? Is it a reactionary sport? Is it a thinking man's sport or women's sport? Like, I would say in you know, like if it was just reactionary, like to me.
Well, they're all reactionary.
Right, but some have, I mean, you know, some are more mentally focused than others, right?
Yeah.
So if it's a high but mentally focus, which you would think gymnastics is a very high mental grind.
Right.
You're out there literally on an island. It's just you. It's just you.
Yeah.
Whereas in football, there's 21 of the guys on the field at all times. So it's a little different.
I think there's just this divide over the unknown. I don't know about this. I can't really speak to it. And if you're unfamiliar with these issues that Simone Biles has been talking about, not just yesterday, then your reaction may be, suck it up. It's life. Like, get over it. We all have stress. And if you are more familiar with it, then you totally understand and you respect her even more for doing what she did and allowing this to be an even bigger discussion. So that's why this is such a crazy, crazy large topic over the latest news that she is pulling out of the individual competition as well at the Olympics.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.